Coming up, Broadway superstar Audra McDonald. Here she is performing Migratory V by composer Adam Gettle on McDonald's newest album, Go Back Home.
We sail above the weather. We search the
Up to date. I'm Steve Kraske. She's known as the woman who can do it all, singing, acting, opera, the stage, film, and television with her recurring role on Private Practice. And she's a mom to boot. Audra McDonald can apparently do it all pretty darn well. She's won 5 Tonys, 2 Grammys, and been nominated for 3 Emmys. But who's counting? Those 5 Tonys place her in the same company as Broadway legends Julie Harris and Angela Lansbury as the only people in Tony history to win 5 performance awards. She's performed at the White House, but she's not yet performed at the Kauffman Center in Kansas City, an omission she'll correct on Saturday night in a benefit concert for Kansas City young audiences with the Kansas City Symphony. Audra McDonald, welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you.
You know, you're pulled in so many different directions, theater, concerts, television, you're a recording artist. How do you keep up with all of that, and what makes you want to work in all these different kinds of media?
I'm someone who, as a child, was quite hyperactive, and so I think that sort of helped me out as an adult as far as, you know, being able to keep up, and I just am very curious about all the different mediums, and I'm kind of constantly wanting to evolve as an artist. So for me, I look for challenges. And so, you know, there's certainly a challenge to doing television, and there's a challenge to doing live performance, and there's challenges to doing recordings. So I just want to constantly sort of educate myself about all of it. I think that's why I continue to hop around.
I mean, does your interest flag after a while once you've been invested in one medium for a long time? Do you find yourself beginning to think, I want to try something else?
You know, not necessarily. I've just been very lucky, touch wood or formica, where I am right now. I've always, things seem to, you know, come to me at the right time, you know. So, you know, I've been doing private practice for 4 years, and then I knew it was time to go because I needed to go home to, you know, be closer to my family. And then after I made the decision to come home, Porgy and Bess kind of fell in my lap. So I'm just lucky that different sort of things come to me, you know, seemingly at the right time. And I'm always, like I said, I'm always looking for a challenge. So if something comes my way that's going to be a challenge, I'll venture towards that.
You know, Audra, in an interview with PBS last June, you talked about all the different performances that you do. And you said this, they all still scare me because I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Explain, even after winning 5 Tonys, how you still have a fear that you might be close to failure.
Oh, because, I mean, I think you can talk to anybody and they would say the same thing. You know, I mean, I always feel like, oh, I got away with it that time. Am I going to get away with it this time? Or is it going to work this time? Is this the time that it doesn't work, you know? Or is this the time that I, you know, fall on my face. And there have been times where I have fallen on my face, both literally and figuratively. So I, you know, the fear is always that this is the time that I'll really screw up and a million people will be watching and, oh, well.
Yeah.
I'll pick myself up, dust myself off, and keep going.
Does that fear make your performances sharper or maybe even better?
Well, it certainly, the fear certainly forces me to focus on making them the best that I can possibly make them. It certainly, the fear is always the impetus to, if, you know, if the fear is that I'm going to fail, then I have to work hard and be disciplined and, you know, research whatever character or just study or take the voice lessons enough or make sure I have all my lines memorized, all this stuff, so that I can at least try and set myself up not to fail. And if it ends up happening, you know, even with all that, at least I gave it my all. That sounds like a cliche, but it's kind of true.
Well, I'm guessing that in the work that you do, you know, the awards are one thing, but there must be a sense from, you know, performance to performance that, hey, you know, what do you got for me today? You know, that kind of idea. You were great yesterday, but show me what you got right now.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the more you do, and if you're successful with each thing, then it's like, well, but, you know, exactly. It's the sort of, what have you done for me lately? You
yeah,
know, that was great
yeah.
yesterday, but what's going on today? And, you know, not conversely, but, you know, along the same lines, I myself sort of push myself to say, okay, well, that was okay yesterday. You didn't screw up yesterday, but you need to improve. I mean, what I always say, one of my mantras is, I want to be a better performer today than I was yesterday. I want to be a better actress today than I was yesterday, a better singer today than I was yesterday. So, like, for me, I constantly have to be learning and improving.
We're visiting with Audra McDonald. She'll be performing with the Kansas City Symphony in a Kansas City Young Audiences Benefit Concert event on Saturday evening at 8 o'clock in Helzberg Hall at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. For tickets, go to kauffmancenter.org. You know, Audra, I won't ask you to pick a favorite performance, but, you know, was there one time that you still think back and, or how often do you sit back and think, boy, I really nailed that one last night. It just felt right from the get-go. Or does that not happen very often?
No, that doesn't happen ever, I would
really
say. But I do have, yeah, I have memorable moments, you know, moments that, you know, will always sort of be frozen in time for me. And I think I can't pick a favorite show or anything like that. I feel like they're your children. They're all your favorites. You know, there's all special things about all of them. But I would say one of the moments that's frozen in time for me is waiting upstage of the show curtain before my first opening night of Carousel on Broadway back in 1994, holding onto that loom, getting ready to, you know, push the loom down with the rest of the girls for that first couple of notes of the Carousel waltz. And that moment's frozen in time for me in terms of, like, wow, this is it. This is, you know, the beginning of the rest of your life here, whether it ends up being on Broadway forever or not. But this is a moment, and take a picture of it and remember it. So that's one that's still quite electrified in my mind.
You know, if you only had one more performance left in you, where would you like it to be? TV, you're looking at, you know, the opera stage. Where would you want it to be? Where do you want to leave your
mark? On Broadway.
On Broadway?
Broadway. Yeah, that's the, you know, growing up in Fresno, California, was the one thing I wanted to do. All the rest has been gravy. And believe me, Broadway has been gravy too. But I wanted to be on a Broadway stage. I wanted to be in a Broadway show. So if I only had one more show or one more performance that I had to give, I would want it to be on a Broadway stage.
And what role?
Oh, gosh, you're asking such a difficult no idea. I mean, I prior to 2012, I would have said Bess and Porgy and Bess. Mm-hmm. But I got a chance to do that. So I don't know. I'm open to that. But hopefully, I just know that I would want to be on Broadway.
You know, I've read that you almost didn't graduate from Juilliard because of your lack of interest in classical music. So I'm wondering, how did you get through Juilliard?
Oh, there's a lot of people at Juilliard, a lot of teachers at Juilliard who have a lot more gray hair because of my time there, I think.
Why?
By hook or by crook, they got me through. Because I wanted to be on Broadway, and then for some reason I went to Juilliard, so all of a sudden I was studying classical music, and there I was, you know, literally going to school on Broadway. Our address, you know, the school was right at 66th and Broadway, and yet I'd never been further away from Broadway, so I just didn't really want to give myself over to a classical sound. So it was 5 years of my teachers trying to get me disciplined and force me into at least opening myself to this classical sound. And in the end, I look back on it and I'm so grateful, because I think discovering my classical side of my voice sort of helped me to discover my full voice. And I would have had a different voice had I not gone to Juilliard. So in the end, I'm quite grateful. But, you know, it was, you know, just trying to get me interested in anything, you know, and finding a special way in for me than perhaps they had to do for some of the other students who wanted to study classical music. So they had to find pieces for me that focused more on the acting, and that way I wasn't focusing on the classical side of it, and then the classical would come out because I was busy thinking about something else. It's like tricking a kid to eat their vegetables. That's what they had to do.
That's a good analogy, I think. You know, you mentioned the hyperactive thing. Is it true that you began studying acting to, you know, counteract this diagnosis of being hyperactive? And how young were you at the time when you were diagnosed?
I think it was about 8 or 9, and maybe even earlier. And you know, my parents, you know, kind of got the diagnosis and thought, we don't want to medicate her. And the doctor was like, well, then you got to channel this energy. You got to channel it, you know, exhaust her. you know, my mom used to say, you know, I was such a whirlwind. She would say, you know, here comes the circus, you know, because I was always just spinning top. So they got me into dancing and singing, and I love to do it at home anyway, so they got me into dancing and singing, and then they got me into a dinner theater when I was about 9 years old.
Wow.
In my hometown of Fresno, California. And that was the beginning of the journey for me. I just found what I loved right away.
I was going to say, you loved it right off the bat?
Absolutely. I absolutely loved it right off the bat. It felt like home to me. It felt so comfortable.
You know, you're
not easy, but comfortable.
Mm-hmm. You're doing this interview while on a break from rehearsing, as I understand it. Does that hyperactive diagnosis, does it still apply to you even today?
Well, I'm tired now. You know,
right.
Yes. I mean, the hyperactive diagnosis, I think, would absolutely still apply to me today. I happen to be right now on the sound stages in Long Island. We're starting our camera rehearsals for The Sound of Music with Carrie Underwood that we're doing on NBC, live.
Wow.
On NBC
yeah.
In December. Yes, I would say that that's true, because I'm rehearsing today and tomorrow, and then I head out to do a concert in Kansas City, and, you know, I'm still a mom, and, you know, I don't want to say the hyperactivity helps that, but, you know, I'm juggling a lot of things right now, but, it also, I think thrills me, and I feel very lucky and very grateful that I've had the opportunities that I've had and the experiences that I've had. So I try and stay grateful about it all.
There must be something you like about juggling all the stuff you're juggling. Am I right?
It's never boring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never bored.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. So that's absolutely, you know, but I, you know, I'm here on this beautiful soundstage doing, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein's, you know, Sound of Music, singing a role I never in my life thought I would sing as the Mother Abbess. You know, certainly wasn't on my radar. And I'm just as jazzed by that as I was by, you know, helping my daughter and my two stepsons with their homework last night, you know, running around from, you know, room to room saying, okay, what do you need? All right, let's figure out how to do this sentence. Going upstairs with my daughter to help her with her math problem, you know. And so that gives me as much joy and excitement as the other. So I'm lucky that I get to do both.
When you do slow down, what do you do? Do you have time for a book? Do you ever sit back and watch TV? Or what do you do when you really gear it down?
When I gear it down, for me, that's, you know, when I think about bliss for me, you know, that's me at home, you know, on the couch with my husband and the kids and the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I try and do family time. That's where I get recharged. And, yeah, that's about it. I'm just now starting to try and learn how to garden and landscape my little backyard. But, family is most important to me.
We're visiting with Audra McDonald. You know, you lend your name and time to various causes. Audra, the event you're doing in Kansas City is just one example. 11th Hour Rescue, where you adopted your dogs, is yet another. You're also very active in the marriage equality issue. Tell us about Broadway Impact and what makes that so unique.
Broadway Impact is a wonderful organization that was started by three great young folks in the Broadway scene. Gavin Creel, who's, you know, star of, you know, he did Thoroughly Modern Millie, and he did Hair. He was a star of Hair. He's now in Book of Mormon and on the West End. And Rory O'Malley, a Tony nominee for Book of Mormon, and then their friend Jenny Kennelis. And the three of them, after the first vote for marriage equality in New York State failed in 2008, and Prop 8 happened, and in California they just banded together and said, what else can we do? We've got to be able to do something. And so they put together this organization just to raise awareness within the Broadway community and outreach and putting people in direct contact with their senators and their congressmen and being activists and going on marches and phone banking and whatnot. And it really helped to get the Broadway community very involved, kind of in the same way that when the AIDS crisis hit in the 80s, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, you know, became the result of that too, just sort of a grassroots sort of organization. And I would say the Broadway Impact thing is sort of the same thing. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I are very dear friends with Gavin Creel, and he said, will you be on the advisory board? We said, absolutely.
You know, there are lots of causes out there. Why marriage equality?
Civil rights are something that, you know, obviously is very important to me, and I think very much about the fact that I am a beneficiary of the civil rights movement of the, you know, for the African-American folks of the, you know, the 60s, 50s and 60s, and how that afforded me to have the life that I have today. And so I kind of feel that there were people out there fighting for my civil rights, you know, and even the civil rights before that for women, the suffrage movement. So I sort of feel like it's my duty. You know, you can't just sit back, and I can't sit back and watch other people have their civil rights being stripped away. So I just, it feels like a duty to me, you know.
Well, you've done a lot of stuff, but you haven't tried politics yet. Is that in your future?
Oh, my goodness.
Senator McDonald might sound pretty good, Audra.
I don't know that I could handle it, and I don't think I have the temperament for it. I say what I'm thinking all the time, and so I don't know that that would work well with politics. So you have to be so careful about what you say. I would like to stay involved with different organizations and groups that, you know, work to get things done, but I would kind of want to stay on the, you know, the grassroots level and not get it up into the bureaucracy that is politics. I think I would be able to affect more change in the grassroots level than anywhere else.
Okay, final question. You perform Saturday night here in Kansas City, 8 o'clock at the Kauffman Center. What does Audra McDonald do for a pre-concert warm-up? What do you do? What's your routine? How do you get ready?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. My husband always says he has to remind himself that I'm not mad at him if he's around me during a pre-show warm-up, because I get very, very quiet. I'm a pretty chatty person in life, but I get very, 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 very quiet. And I go very, I kind of go really inward, and I just kind of don't want to really talk to anybody. And I always stay in my dressing room between a sound check and a performance, and I eat my salmon and my salad, and I just kind of go inside myself so that I'm settled. And when I go out on stage, I can then be open to share an experience with everybody. But if I feel like I've kind of given myself away throughout the day in, you know, being really chatty or, you know, open during the day, then I'm a little empty when I go out on stage. And I want to be able to say that for the moment on stage. So I tend to be a bit of a hermit crab. And then I always do have a little bit of some sort of peanut butter chocolate something before I hit the stage.
Why not, right? Is that in the
Yes, it's medicinal.
Audra McDonald performs with the Kansas City Symphony in a Kansas City Young Audiences Benefit Concert event Saturday evening, 8 o'clock at Helzberg Hall at the Kauffman Center. For tickets, kauffmancenter.org. And Audra, it's been just a pleasure. Thank you for taking some time with us.
Thank you. Very nice speaking with you.
Let's hear another song from Audra McDonald. This is a song composed by the duo of Kander and Ebb. It's the title track from her album, Go Back Home.
Someday I'll afraid and go back home.
That's Audra McDonald singing Go Back Home.